Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that you've had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are now in our second week of this series called The Perfect Gift. And so through the month of December, we're going to be looking at the perfect gift that has been given to every single person that draws breath on this earth. And that gift is Jesus Christ. December 25th, or Christmas, is a day where Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus. It is not that exact day when Jesus was born. We know I was born on July 18th, and so we celebrate on my birthday for when I was born. But Jesus was not born on that day, but we have to celebrate. We have to say, praise God for sending your Son down for us to live here for us and to die for us. Now, a lot of churches talk about the birth of Jesus on Christmas Eve and or Christmas Day, and that's what their sermons are focused around. But I like to talk about the perfect gift that is Jesus in its entirety, because the birth was just the beginning of God's gift to us. So through this month, we're going to look at all the aspects, all the way from Jesus' birth to the things that he did while he lived here to his death and his resurrection. And on Christmas Eve, we're going to talk about how God's perfect gift was made complete in his death and resurrection. So when you come for Christmas Eve service, that's the sermon you're going to hear. That's what we're going to talk about, because the birth, as I said, was the beginning. But we get to see what happens and how it was completely made whole into this perfect gift with his death. So last week, we started out by talking about what happened actually right before Jesus' birth. We dove into the Old Testament and we looked at many prophecies that were made hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. So they foretold the things that were going to happen, who it was going to happen to, where it was going to happen. And we got to see in Matthew, when we went into the New Testament, how the prophecies came true. So they told us exactly where he would be born, what exactly would happen around his birth. And it was amazing to see that God has been planning this perfect gift, Jesus' birth, way before he was even born. We actually know from the beginning of time that God was already planning a way to save us, because he knew that we were going to need it. So when you look at this perfect gift that God has given us, we can be rest assured that the greatest gift that we can give to anyone else is the hope and salvation that we have through his Son, Jesus. If you can only give one gift this year, talk to them about God. Talk to them about Jesus. But a lot of us are still wanting to give that amazing physical gift. And I understand, because we want to show how much we love and appreciate people in our lives. To say, you know what? I love you so much. I got you this gift. But the season's not just about gifts either, because, you know, that is something we stress about a lot is, well, I got to buy for all these people. Is it good enough? Is it enough money? And we have all these thoughts on gifts. But there's something else that happens that we don't like to talk about, and that is talking about all of the gatherings this time of year. Because it seems to be more and more that you're getting together with people. You end up meeting with family that maybe you barely see. You maybe end up meeting with family that you barely like. You end up having these parties that you're going to. Either you're throwing them or you're attending them. I actually talked to a friend of mine, and he told me that he had 4 different parties that he had to attend in 1 week. Now, some of you are saying, you know what? That sounds amazing. I would love to have 4 different Christmas celebrations in 1 week. And others are saying, wow, that sounds like a nightmare to have to go to 4 different parties in 1 week. And I'm going to tell you right now, those who are excited, you're the extroverts. Those who are actually not wanting to do that and say it's a nightmare, you're the introverts, okay? You're the ones that are hiding from it. And I understand. And it's all good. We're allowed to have a good mix of people. You're allowed to have your thoughts and feelings on it. But it's true, there are lots of different gatherings and parties that happen around this time of year. And the thing is, if you are hosting one of these things, it's going to come with some pressure. There's going to have these things that are going to put pressure on you to have to deliver. You have to make sure that your food is delicious. You're going to have to make sure that you're not poisoning anyone. You have to make sure that you have space for everyone. That's one of the worst things, is where you think there's going to be 10 people and 17 show up. And so you're trying to find chairs anywhere you can. And you found the little kid's chair that was in the closet. And you're like, I hope this works for you. And they're almost sitting on the floor. It happens. There's also, for me, I am not one that loves to host. But for me, I want it to be very clean. I want everything to look really clean and perfect. It actually has gotten to the point of where when I ask my kids to clean up, I'm like, I want you to do this. I want you to vacuum that. I want you to wipe down this thing. The kids ask me, well, who's coming over? And I'm like, really? That's how little you want to clean? Is that you think someone has to come? I'm like, we live here. This is why it has to be clean. But that's one of the stresses that I have when we host something. I want it to be clean. And the truth is, we want this to go well. It's not that we just want it to go well. May I dare say that we want everything to be perfect. We want to make sure that we are bringing our best, that everything goes according to plan. And what happens when it doesn't go according to plan? Depends on who you are. Some of us react with, well, that's it. It's over. This is the worst Christmas ever. You know. And then others say, we can get through this. It'll be okay. But it kind of digs down at you. And you say, oh, I really wish everything just went perfect. But this is not something new. This is something that people have always done. And we're going to look at a special instance where this actually happened with Jesus. So today we're going to read out of Luke 10. 38 through 42. Luke 10, 38 through 42. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. We have Bibles in the rows and a stack in the back for anyone who wants to follow along in our Bibles. If you do not own a Bible, please take one. It's yours. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to go ahead and read Luke 10, 38 through 42. And we're going to talk about what's happening here. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one thing. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So what we have here is a pair of sisters named Martha and Mary, who accepted Jesus and the disciples into their home. Now, we have to give you some perspective of what is happening here. So when Jesus and the disciples would travel around and they would go to different towns, often they would have to rely on people in these cities and towns to house them and to feed them and kind of take care of them while they're doing their thing. And that was no small feat to do. Where Jesus went, his disciples went with him. So you think, okay, you invite Jesus into your home, that's one extra person. When you invite Jesus and the disciples, you could have 13 extra men coming into your home that you have to feed and house. I think about what happens at Thanksgiving already when a bunch of us get together. You think about 13 hungry men come together, you better have like a 50-pound turkey because you're not going to be able to feed everybody. Well, in this instance, a woman named Martha said, yes, I'm going to have Jesus and his disciples at my place. Martha and Mary, they knew who Jesus was. They knew that he was this amazing rabbi, and through this context of what we're reading here, they even called Jesus Lord, meaning they know exactly who he is and what they're saying. So they just invited in Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus is in their house. Think about how that would be. Jesus is coming to Grove City. He's preaching and teaching. He's with his disciples. And they say, hey, we need a place to go. I'm sure there will be many right here in this building that would say, ooh, Jesus, you guys can come to my place. And then Jesus says, yeah, let's go to your house. That would be huge. I'd be geeking out a little. I'd be like, oh, Jesus is coming and he's coming to my house. And then I would be freaking out. It's so dirty. Oh no. This is not just having your family over for Thanksgiving dinner or for Christmas. This is the Messiah coming over. And when something doesn't go right, when it's like Thanksgiving and the family's there, yeah, the turkey is a little dry. Whatever, add some extra gravy. You'll be fine. I forgot to put the rolls in, but don't worry, there's lots of other food. I cannot imagine Jesus coming over and I'm like, the turkey's so dry. There's no bread. He needs bread. Somebody get bread. You'd be freaking out because it's Jesus. Jesus is coming to your house. You're going to want this to be perfect for him. Well, Martha, she's getting everything ready. But there are so many people to feed. There's so many people to take care of. It's a bit overwhelming. And she doesn't want to forget anything. Now, her sister Mary, she decided that she's actually just going to go sit at Jesus' feet and listen to everything that he had to say. It wasn't that she was going there to converse with him. She was there to sit and listen. So Martha was overwhelmed. Martha's trying to make everything perfect in a timely manner. Nothing is worse than showing up in the evening for a big dinner. And you're like, all right, so when's dinner happening? Oh, I haven't put the turkey in yet. Oh, no. I guess we're going to be here till midnight. So she wants to get it all done. So she looks to Jesus and she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? To tell her to get up and help me. Like, make her help me because this needs to get done. But Jesus responds with a different response than Martha probably thought would happen. Jesus says, you're so worried and upset about so many things. But he says, there's only a few things that are actually needed. He says, actually, indeed, there's actually only one thing that is needed. And Mary, your sister, she has chosen that one thing that is needed. Martha was so busy, so worried about making it perfect, about looking at how every detail has to be in the right place. But when truly it comes down to Jesus wants us to do one thing. And that one thing is to focus completely on him. The first thing that Mary does, she goes over to Jesus where he's sitting and she sits down in front of him to listen to him. She's going to take it all in, everything that he has to say. He has Mary's full attention. Too often we find ourselves like Martha here. We have this big job to do. We put our focus and the importance on what we're doing. We have to make sure that this is done perfect. But we're missing what is the most important thing. And that is, first, you have to go to God. First, you have to go to Jesus. Sit at his feet and listen to his teachings. Find out where he wants you to go. Where he wants you to serve. We're actually going to go ahead and turn to John 12, 1 through 3, and we're going to see another instance like this one. John 12, 1 through 3. And this is also dealing with Jesus, and we're talking about Martha and Mary again. So it's the same exact people in another story here. So we're going to read John 12, 1 through 3, and talk about what's happening here. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and she poured it on Jesus' feet, and she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So it starts off letting us know the time frame that this was. This was just before the Jewish holiday of Passover, but more importantly, this is where Lazarus lived. And it says, Lazarus, the one that Jesus brought back from the dead. And you might be saying, we're just going to skim right over that. That's kind of a big deal. That's, if you just read that sentence, you're going to go, I need to know more. What? What do you mean? But the thing is, I'm not going into detail this week. And it may seem strange to not talk about Jesus raising someone from the dead, but that's what we're actually talking about next week. We're going to go through that whole story. So if you want to know exactly what's happening with Lazarus and what Jesus did, that's what we're going to be talking about next week. So be here for that. But we're at the place, it says, where Jesus raised this man, Lazarus, from the dead. And we find ourselves back with Martha and Mary. And that's because they are actually family with Lazarus. And because of what Jesus had done for their family, for them, they are throwing him this party or this dinner in Jesus' honor. Again, this is huge. Jesus did something amazing, unheard of, and unthinkable for the family here, for Lazarus. And he's come back through. So what are they going to do? They're going to throw the best party there ever was. I've been to some awesome gatherings with great food, maybe some great entertainment, good friends and family. It was just a good time all around. I'm sure this party had to have been better than all of them put together to honor Jesus. And it makes me think, so I was like, so what is the best party ever? What would this look like? And for some reason, I go right to Aladdin the cartoon. I don't know if you've seen Aladdin the cartoon, but there's a scene where they're singing, you know, Prince Ali, da 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 da, you know, and so they're going down the, you know, the road there, and what are they like? He's got golden camels and fire breathers and jugglers, and horns are blaring, and people are cheering in the streets, and that's the kind of party I'm like, well, that would be something that maybe would honor Jesus, just to show a little bit of our gratitude and love for Jesus. So they have to do something big. But I love what it says about Martha, because it's very short. It just says, Martha served. But the thing is, Martha was doing what she loved. It's what she does. It's what she knows how to do. And there is that person that loves to host. I'm not that person, but there are people who love it. They thrive on it. They want people over so they can serve them and they can host this thing for others to say, you know what, I love you and I want to show my gratitude. And so that's what Martha was doing. That is Martha. She was serving. But then we get to Mary. This is the same Mary that ran over and just sat in front of Jesus so she could just intently listen to to every word that comes out of his mouth. And so in verse 3 it says, Mary takes a very large jar of very expensive perfume, and she wants to show her love and appreciation to Jesus. It says right after these verses that actually this jar of perfume was worth a year's wages. So we're not talking about some Old Spice here, okay? This is not something that you just grab off the shelf. This is something that's very special, very expensive. And it says she takes the whole jar and she pours it onto Jesus' feet. But it doesn't stop there. She doesn't just pour it on his feet to show how much that he means to her. She takes it even further. And she begins to wipe his feet with her hair. Now, the washing of someone's feet, that was the lowest of low servant jobs. Why? Because it's gross. Like, it just is. People walked around in their sandals and their feet became very dirty. And it's one of those where that's what they would do when you went and entered a home. If you had servants, you'd have a servant come up and they would wash your feet off so it wouldn't get all gross in the house. And also, if you didn't have a servant and you weren't one of those people, they still had a basin there that you'd have to wash your feet off. And what happened was, Mary said, I'm your servant. So we see three different things happening here. We see here that money, stuff of this world, she says, it's not important. It doesn't mean a lot. I understand this is a year's worth of wages, but I'm willing to sacrifice it all for you. Any earthly possession that I have, Jesus, it is yours to honor him, to show her devotion to him. Then she lowers herself to be a servant. She says, Jesus, I am here just to serve you completely. And she washes his feet. She shows through her actions that Jesus is King and Lord. But then she takes it one step further and she says, everything that I am is yours. She says, Jesus, I am completely yours. And she takes the only thing she has, which is her hair, and she starts to wipe his dirty feet clean with the only thing she has. Through these two stories, we get to see the heart of Mary. Mary was all in for Christ. She wanted to learn from him. She wanted to serve him. And she said with her actions, I am completely for you, Lord. Now, I'm not saying you have to go out and wash someone's feet with your hair, or you don't have to go and take some very expensive lotion or perfume or cream or something and put it on someone's feet. I've seen some of the prices on those lotions, so I understand. But I'm not saying you have to go and do these things. What I am saying to you is you have to give your all to God. God doesn't need you to throw the best Christmas party ever. He doesn't need you to give out the best gifts. It's not about doing good things. It's about giving your life completely to Him. And this time of year, we get so busy. We get distracted. Distracted by the gifts, distracted by the gatherings, distracted by family, distracted by the things of this world. But this year, let's do it differently. That is what brings me to the challenge for this week. This month, we need to be more like Mary. Every day, I want you to go to Jesus' feet first. Put your worries of family, friends, parties, gifts aside. Go to Jesus first. That means to worship Him, read your Bible, pray to Him. And then when you are going to resume your life, because you are going to have to still live your life, make sure you're doing it all to glorify Christ. Our whole lives are to be a living sacrifice for Him. Your life is not about Christmas. Your life is not about this season. Your life is not about your family. Your life is not about making everything perfect. Your life needs to be about Christ. Put Jesus first. Let's go ahead and pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for every opportunity you give us to learn about you, to learn from others that were trying to follow you. We get to see Mary give her whole life to you, give everything she has to you, all to serve you, to follow you. I pray that as we go throughout this month and the hecticness of what's happening around us does not distract us from the truth that we need to go and sit at your feet and listen to you and then to serve you and say that I am completely yours. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray. Amen. So we'll now have a time of invitation. We talked all about who Jesus is and why Mary said, yeah, I'm going to follow you. That's what this season is all about right now. That's what we're talking about right now. It's about Jesus. And that's 24/7, 365 days a week. It has to be about Jesus. And if you're saying, I don't understand who he is and what he's done for me, we want to talk to you. We want to help you understand what Jesus has done for us and know what he's done for you. Maybe you're saying, you know what? I know who Jesus is. I understand that he is the Son of God, that he was born here, that he died for me. But I don't know how to follow him with my life. What's the first step? Jesus himself had said, we all need to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. To go in that water, and that water's right there. To confess with our mouths. To go under and come out new. Or maybe you need some prayer. We get to talk to God. And if it's something that you're saying, I need help with, I'm not sure where to start, or I just need your prayers to help me, we want to pray with you.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.